Hello, everybody. This is Stuart Wilde. Welcome to a two-tape series on affirmations. In this series, we'll talk about energy and your life. We'll talk about what empowers thought forms and what takes them from fantasy into reality. And we'll look at creating affirmations of feeling or affirmations of essence or action, so that your life becomes an affirmation of what it is you believe. It becomes an affirmation of self-empowerment, so that gradually, step by step, over a period of time, you can replace the programming in the mind, the negative, debilitating programming that holds you back, and replace it with thoughts and feelings that create your freedom, that create your empowerment in life. If I ask you the question, are you free? You will answer, yes. Yes, of course I'm free. And I certainly did when that question was posed to me once. But when we look at what we mean in the sense of freedom, we understand that there are levels of freedom. To a person that has been in prison for, say, 10 years, if you let him out for a two-hour lunch, he would say, this is freedom. And yet we would look at him and we would say, well, that isn't freedom because you're just out for 2 hours and this afternoon you're going to have to go back to prison. When you look at your life, you're going to look at it and see whether or not you genuinely experience freedom. This means freedom in the sense that your physical body is free, and that you enjoy a modicum of good health and agility and mobility. Is your mind free, or are you encumbered by 1,000 beliefs and thoughts that create prisons around you? Is your life free? Is the environment that you have created around you an environment that supports you? Does it endorse you? Does it support you? The place you live, you know, the people around you, the interpersonal relationships, your family, your loved ones, your spouses, your children, the people you work with, is that arrangement, is that relationship designed to empower you, or does it debilitate you, pull you back, drag you into emotion, and basically make you less than what you are? For all of my philosophies and all of my tapes and the teachings that I'm putting together at this time are all designed to allow the individual to become an individual. Now, when you say to somebody, well, are you an individual? They say, yes, of course I am. You know, I live here. I have this name. I'm this sexuality. I'm this national person or whatever. I belong to this nation. And they believe they have individuality. But I want you to look today at exactly how much individuality you express. Or do you express an individuality that is basically a rehash of other people's ideas, other people's religions, other people's philosophies, other people's sayings and thoughts, other people's feelings, other people's ideas? And then as we look at exactly what makes up our life, we begin to look at each and every aspect. And also we're going to look at the finances in your life, the creativity. Are you free in those areas, or are you controlled by other people? And as we look at that, you're not going to, let's say, bash yourself up. This is not a witch hunt, or it's not a way of saying, let us look at the negativity in your life. It is saying, let us step back from our life or from your life for a moment. Let us step back and let us, in a non-judgmental, non-critical way, look at exactly what it is you live, what exactly it is in an energy pattern. As you look at your life, you understand that your life is energy. Your body feels physical, and you experience it in the physical dimension, say. But of course, it is not. It is basically consciousness. Of course, your thoughts are consciousness, your physical body is consciousness, and the physical plane that we live in is also consciousness. Now, you could look at a mountain and you could say, well, that is a solid mountain. And you're correct. It is solid because the atoms and molecules are moving approximately at the speed of light, and that is what makes the mountain solid. However, within the atoms, there is very little solidity, and basically most of the mountain is not solid or not there. And the physical plane, the planet we stand on, the solar system and the universe we live in, is basically thought form or consciousness, but a different kind of consciousness than the consciousness that we experience when we engage our mind in thought. But it is consciousness. And so what you are is a conglomeration of thought forms, feelings, attitudes, and physicalness that go to make up your life. And the life that you lead, the life that you experience, is a reflection of you, the inner you, and of course also the outer you. For within the physical plane, we have the ability to change our circumstances through action and reaction, and we have the ability to change our circumstances through thought, through attitude, and through feeling. Each one of us believes what it is that we believe. And so if you go to a Muslim and you ask him to describe to you his beliefs, he will talk to you about Allah and the Quran, and he will talk to you about his philosophy, his life, the village he lives in, the traditions and the understandings, and what happens at what festival and when. And he has a belief pattern. If you go to a Jew and you ask him about his belief pattern, he will tell you about Zionism, he will tell you about the Torah, he will tell you about his life. If you talk to a Catholic will talk to you about the life of Jesus, and so on. And each one of us lives with these belief patterns that we take on. I believe, as I've said before in my other tapes, that you are not basically a physical body, but that you are a divine energy inside a body that I call the higher self. And I believe that the higher self has an ability of perceiving, before it comes into the physical plane, what it is going to be getting into. And so if it is going to be Muslim or Jewish or Catholic or Shinto or British or French or Mongolian or whatever, it knows that. And I believe that it has a perception of what the destiny pattern is going to be. As you came into this physical plane, you agreed to take on the mindset of the race, of the nation, of the people, of the karma of the time. You took on the metaphysical understanding or the lack of. You took on, let's say, a strict religious background, or let's say you were born into a family where there was very little religious attitude. But basically speaking, whatever it is that you took on is your challenge, your heritage to go beyond. And I believe that we are here in the physical plane to experience restriction. For when we experience restriction and we understand it, by going through it, we become free. In the sense that you cannot have, let's say, for example, saints and great holy people if you did not have evil. For you have to have evil in order to compare it to something and say, well, this person is a saint in relation to evil. You have to have restriction in relationship to freedom. And so I believe we come into the physical plane, disease, war, famine, restriction, difficulty, manipulation, all of that stuff, poverty, whatever it might be, that we come to experience it and go beyond it. As you are working with your spirituality, as you are working with your understanding, as you want to create around you an atmosphere that is stronger, that is more positive, what you are saying is, hey, I've gone beyond the mindset that I took on, and now I want to be something different. I want to create absolute freedom. And absolute freedom, in my view, is the ability to move at any place, at any time. It is the ability to walk out of the door tomorrow morning and never come back. It is the ability to have enough money around you to do those things that you want to do. So if this day you decide to walk out of the office and go to Peru for 6 months, you can do it. And if you can't, you're not free. It is the ability in the physical sense of having a body that is under control. It does not necessarily have to have absolutely no ailments within it, but at least it's under control. And when something comes out of balance or out of control within the body, that you don't literally fall off the shelf with fear, but that you begin to take self-healing steps to control that. And if you don't know how to control that, or you don't understand, or you are imprisoned by the difficulties that are there, then you are not totally free. And I would ask you to look at becoming free or freer. Okay? In the sense of interpersonal relationships, we have to live on the earth plane with other people. Some of those people are very close to us, our loved ones, our families, and so on. And as we begin to live with other people, we understand that we, each one of us, is individual. You are an individual. You are not somebody's wife or somebody's husband or somebody's mother or father or the son of another being. You are an individual, infinite, higher self inside a body. And even though we may feel responsibility and love for those around us, and we may care for them and love them and want them to be successful, there's a point where we have to allow each and every person to be what it is that they want to be, to become whatever it is that they're going to become, even if we don't agree with it. Even if what they want to go be to us is revolting and imbalanced and difficult. And so freedom in interpersonal relationships is saying, I am an infinite energy inside a body, and I am individual. I honor and respect my life, and I honor and respect my needs first. Whatever your needs are, whatever this other person's needs are, I respect their needs, and I will not infringe upon them. I will allow them the same sacrosanct individuality that I'm establishing within myself. And I understand that I am not responsible. Understanding that when you look at difficulty out there, when you look at imbalance, you have to understand that the people that are going through the pain and the difficulty and the struggle are doing it for a reason. For a reason. That there is power in pain. That there is power in poverty, in restriction, in drug addiction, in alcoholism, in whatever it might be. That people must be allowed to experience the gamut of restriction. And actually what they're experiencing is the unfolding of their personal freedom. Okay, you might say, but that is an extremely painful way of learning. And I would say to you, yes, you're right. But we cannot, as individuals, go fix it for them, because that is an infringement. And haven't you had the experience, I certainly have, where I've seen something going on, and I've rushed in to fix it, to heal it, to save it, to change it, and I've found that I've infringed upon the people. They became angry, and the minute I left, they carried on doing exactly what they were doing before I got there. And you will find that. So as you understand what freedom is in interpersonal relationships, it is firstly granting the freedom to yourself, saying, I am an individual, and I will do whatever it is I want to do. I'm not going to infringe upon other people. I'm not going to cause them difficulty or in any way restrict them, but I am going to announce to the world that what I want is important to me. You see, we tend to think that the God force asks us to sacrifice, and it doesn't. God does not ask us to give up our life or sacrifice ourselves for others or debilitate ourselves in such a way. That is not a part of the universal law. It is a part of some of the teachings that have been written down in the books and so on, but those teachings, many of them, come from the manipulations and the attitudes of man. And man says, yeah, you've got to go out and sacrifice yourself for the world, but the God force doesn't ask you to do that. The God force does not ask you to trudge off to your execution. You know, it doesn't ask you to drop dead trying to save a village, save a nation, save a religion, save a community, save a cause. It doesn't ask you to do that. It doesn't ask you any of those things. It asks you basically to become more of the light or the life force within. Because as you expand in your consciousness, you become an affirmation of the infinity within you. You step out of ego, subconscious mind, belief patterns, mindset, physical plane, and you drift gradually over a period of years into the inner you. And that inner you is eternal and infinite and magnanimous beyond belief. Magnanimous. And magnanimous to a person that understands spirituality is the ability in the individual for them to say, I am what I am. And what I am has beauty and strength. And I know as this individual within me that I cannot change the world. I cannot go out there and fix it for them. All I can become is strong. Then people will come to me, and if they ask me, I will say, yes, this is how I did it. I did it in the following ways, and I will explain how the process took place. But basically speaking, that is the goal that you are trying to achieve. Once you become this power mode individual, you become an affirmation of power. Then you can step back and you can go back into your community. You can go back into your church. You can go back to your people. You can return to the geographic area and you can be there for them. Without that strength, you and them all splashing in the lifeboat together, and it doesn't work. And you can never, ever, ever change the world by going to the world and saying, please change. I'd like you to change. I'd like you to take on these belief patterns. I'd like you to take on this energy. They won't. In fact, they will resent you. They will feel infringed because you have to remember that people believe what it is they believe. And they think it's real. They believe it to be real. And you cannot go to a conglomeration of consciousness and say to it, the things that you believe are not real. Because they'll kill you. They will kill you, they will chase you out the door, and you will literally find the imbalance around you heightened tenfold. And so, before we begin to look at how to create affirmations of power, I would request that you look at your life in relation to energy. Understanding that all of the imbalances, difficulties, and restrictions that you have gone through have been a part of your unfoldment. And you can forgive yourself for your failings. It's almost as if you would look at your limitations and you would fall in love with them. And you would say, hey, these limitations that I've had, these imbalances, these difficulties that have been with me over these years, I'm falling in love with them. I love them. Look how neat I was. Look how wonderful this was. I created this absolutely humdinger of a disaster. But wasn't it neat? Because within that disaster, I learned about myself. And the people that were in the scenario of the disaster with me, say, they learned about themselves. And so when you look at your life and you cast your mind back, you will see that the places where you have acted less than best, say, less than strong, less than free, less than magnanimous, less than individual, were a way of you understanding individuality. And so the first point that I'm asking you to look at is to clear out the old. If you look at the history of many people's spiritual evolution, you will find that in many people's life, there is a turning point. There is a place where suddenly everything changed. And often, at that turning point, you will see a great disaster. You will see a bereavement, an accident, a bankruptcy, a disease, a near-death experience, some kind of immense trauma. And when that trauma took place in the person's life, it was almost as if the trauma created within the individual a click. A click that opened a door. The reason this is so, and the reason why disaster can be so neat and so useful, is that it is in a disaster that the ego, or the basically personality foundation that you have within the psyche, okay, is rattled. Normally speaking, you will go to an individual and you will say, hello, and they will say, hi, I am John Smith, and I'm this and this and this, I live in this area, I do these things, and they will describe to you the pattern of the feelings and thought forms that are around them and within them. And it is impossible to shake those thought forms. However, if suddenly John Smith crashes into a truck at the stoplight and winds up spending 4 months in hospital and nearly dies and every bone in his body is broken, the ego takes such a bashing, the pomposity of the self-image takes such a bashing that it literally retreats. And when it retreats, the higher self can come around and bring forward to that individual a new perspective. It is almost as if you would come into the physical plane, you would have one incarnation, okay, and then at some point suddenly there's this crescendo of energy, bang, and suddenly you would come out of it the other end a new person, a new incarnation. And that happens to people all of the time. And you can talk to it, and I'm sure perhaps it might have happened in your life. It certainly did in mine. And I had one of those crescendo disasters. And suddenly my whole self-image fell totally to the floor. And in picking it up and reconstituting it, I began to look at myself. And I began to take on, new ideas. I read books. I went to courses on mind control, on meditation. I studied as a medium. I trained. I went to the pyramids. I began to look and study and say, hey, what is this around me? What is consciousness? What is belief pattern? What is energy? You see, your life as energy is basically you experiencing yourself. Thought forms are created from within the mind, and depending on their strength, and we'll discuss this in the next tapes in this series, but depending on the thought's strengths, it creates around you a mantle or overcoat, and you walk through life with this layer of thought form around you. And then as a physical being, you interact into the dimension of the physical, and you pull to you thought forms and feelings that are congruent to your own, the same as your own. And so if you are interested in motorbikes and marijuana, you will ride a motorbike, smoke marijuana, and gradually you will find other people that ride motorbikes and smoke marijuana. If you are a Methodist and you enjoy making quilts, you will find other Methodists and you will join the Methodist Quilt Makers Club. And that is life. And so as you look around you, you can see the strength and the power that you have within you by looking at what is around you. If you are surrounded by powerful, creative, freedom-seeking individuals, that is inside of you. If you are surrounded by restriction, limitation, manipulation, then that is around you as well. Now, this is not intended to horrify you or shock you or in any way make you feel uncomfortable, but it's saying that no matter where each one of us is, at any one given moment in our life, in our spiritual quest through infinity, there is always a point out ahead that is freer, that is brighter, that is more endorsing of self, that is a greater amount of the inner light. Each one of us believes that the dimension around us has beauty. And you could go to a person that lives in absolute squalor, in the most restricted, difficult, and unpleasing situation, and you could talk to him, and he would describe the beauty of the dimension he lives in. And the dimension that you live in, the physical environment, the thought forms, the feelings, the affirmations of essence around you, that is, those things around you, you will say, this has beauty. However, to a superior being, or to some great master should happen through, say, for example, he would look at that, and he would not see it as beautiful as you. So the first point that we're going to look at, as we clear the deck, so to speak, is to understand that in order for new or change to come about, you have to subjugate the ego. Now, obviously, hitting a truck at the stop sign's one way, but the other way is to begin to look within yourself. And looking within is constantly reviewing your feelings, your thoughts, your attitudes, reviewing the results of your actions, and understanding what parts of your life are ego-based, are self-serving, and what parts of it are not. What parts are spiritual and magnanimous, and what parts of it are restrictive and manipulative. And if you can do that, you don't have to go have an accident or a serious disease to create the change. You may want to go to a seminar, or you may want to read a book or listen to a tape or something that would change your attitude or change your life, but you can create that within you. As you look at the dimension around you, it is important not to become too smug or too self-satisfied about what it is you are. Because when a person believes that they are this sort of incredible being, that stops them from moving forward. And so what we understand when we look at self-image in the metaphysical spiritual sense of the word is, we look at saying, I am what I am, meaning that I have integrity, I have this infinity within me, but I also understand that there's an awful lot of energy out ahead of me that I'm not a part of yet. But developing, centering upon this power inside of me, and having the courage and the bravery to go beyond the limitation, beyond the mindset that I have, that I can achieve a new height within me. When you can sit down and understand that everything that you believe is basically not real and only becomes real because you believe it, then you can say, hey, these beliefs, these thought forms were neat. Now, let me go through the library, let me go through these layers that are around me, and let me see which parts I could give away, which parts I could get rid of, which parts I could unclip. And can I step from this day believing less than I did yesterday? Because the life force, this light within all things, the God force, does not ask you to believe this or that or something else. Okay, only man does that. So one group, a religious group, will say, well, you got to believe this to be righteous. And another religious group will say, no, you got to believe that to be righteous. And there's 55,000 Christian churches, and then let's add in all the others. You know, each one of us believes what we believe to be the righteous path. But of course, the God force doesn't give a damn what you believe. It isn't involved in that kind of judgment. It does not judge you. It does not look at your mistakes and say, nah. It doesn't do that. It allows you to look at your own mistakes by experiencing them. And so, before we move on to affirmations of power and affirmations of thought and word and feeling, let us take a moment to take stock of what we are. Let us look back through our life, see the strengths, see the successes, honor the disasters for what they taught you, and understand that whatever you have experienced to this day in this life of yours so far has been beautiful. And you created it. You pulled it to you. And you created it. And you are totally responsible. As you can say, I am responsible for this life of mine, that already becomes an affirmation of consciousness. An affirmation of power within that very, very thought form. For millions upon millions of people out there do not believe that, they don't accept it, and they will blame anybody other than themselves. So let us look at that, and if you would like to take a moment in the next meditation that you have, or the next time that you are with yourself, or the next time that you're in prayer, I would take a moment to review and see that your life has been basically a triumph of understanding. Even if you don't understand it, it's still a triumph of understanding. Because within the higher self, within the real you, there is no negativity, there's no pain, there's no loneliness, there's no frustration, there's no fear, there's no disease, there's no restriction. It is all understanding. It is all becoming a greater manifestation of the light or the love that is within the universal law. Thank you.